simply just going to say, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for not really playing it safe. Like, making music with attitude has been something, it's a hard road to travel down, right?
Yeah.
So for many bands, certainly it was for us, I think it's safe to say you spend like a whole new generation of bands that also have something to say. You can't really call again, which is very refreshing. And were you always like that? I mean, when did this change? Were you kind of like the kid at school that was just like always answering questions and always kind of like needed information, or?
Yeah.
Was it something that developed over time?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I think from the age of about 15, I started having political conversations with my stepdad and my father and my mum. Well, my mum would work a lot, so and after my mum had a stroke, I'd have a lot of conversations with my stepdad over dinner about politics. And my dad's like a socialist. So I had it in me. I was so curious, you know. I got my mum's intention and my mother's will, I think is the best way to put it. She came from a very underprivileged childhood and taught me a lot about authority, how to respect it, and how to be respected, I think is the best way to put it. And she always came, my strength was a lot about compassion and love. And I definitely inherited that from my mum. Like,
yeah.
You know, especially as a privileged white man, it's easy to stamp your feet and get hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And like, I had a lot to say, and I was very angry when we started the band, because I was kind of blaming the universe for my mum's illness and death, and my stepfather's death, and my, you know, losing my 20s to what is basically alcoholism, my mother's alcoholism, and then mine, a drug addiction and stuff. But I never really saw it as my accountability. But I think, I mean, from the coalition onwards, I was very angry at the state, and I was disillusioned by the people and the way they were voting. Also very encouraged when Corbyn came in and the youth vote transformed our landscape, I think, and it was very hopeful. But within that, I was pissed off at the world. And then I realized that the universe doesn't stop spinning because things don't always work out for me. Big old me, and like,
yeah,
I started understanding how lucky I am and how privileged I am. But when I started the band, there was a lot to be annoyed about and a lot to be scared of and a lot to be angry at, and in my own life as well. But I realized, you know, from my mum mainly, that you can do things with grace. And I think I came at it with humor. I didn't want to push people away. I wanted to bring him in and build a community because I wanted to feel part of something. I was very lonely as an addict. And I think I was carrying a lot of weight from my mother's illness. You know, I moved back to Newport to look after her. And that just created a lot of loneliness and like resentment that I couldn't live a normal life or whatever. So there's all this weird balancing act of me. Like, I've always been politically minded, but I think my emotional state, I was very emotionally immature, and it took me a long time to balance that out in the art and the music, where just because I had a voice doesn't mean I have to shout over everyone else. Just because I disagree with the Tories doesn't mean that I immediately have to judge someone for voting Conservative. There's a difference. Tory policies might be evil, but everyone that votes Conservative might not be. And how to change.
I think people get kind of manipulated into things, you know. It's like at a certain time, you know, they get lied to, manipulated into things. And you know, we are in the age of misinformation. So I think that has also a lot to do with it. I really loved one of the things when I first came across you that I really hit me kind of in the middle of my chest as an artist was the title, Joy as an Act of Resistance, you know. Mm. And the reason why I think that hit me was because that's how I run my life. That's always kind of how I run my band and how we run your life, you know. It's kind of, you can only act upon certain things if you are trying to get some kind of contentment with yourself. You know, you've got to sort yourself out first. Was that the same for you? I mean, I think as an artist, I definitely, there's a lot of lyrics that you have this wonderful way of phrasing things, almost like blocks of thought, as I describe it. And so was it the same for you in the way that you realize that you've got to find a joy in life and not just the anger?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I think that's where everything changes during the Joy as an Act of Resistance period. I actually found that concept online. I can't remember. It was a female artist, I think. I want to say an artist. And she wrote, I think she put it in her work. I was like, that's such a beautiful phrase. Yeah. And it reminded, at the time, my mum was deteriorating massively, but she never lost her joy. She never lost her dance. She loved to dance. She wasn't a good dancer. Neither am I. But we love to dance, you know?
Yeah.
And she had a lot of power in her love and a lot of power in her empathy and things like that. And there's similar to you, you know, like in your most well-known, I'd say your most popular song, that Weak As I Am, you know, you open with vulnerability.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something so powerful about opening, and you barter with the audience and you open up to them first. The economy of that is huge. If you give everything to your audience, they'll give it back. And like, I just think in life, the more I've done that, the more I've learned about other people and what a privilege that is. I think, but the blocks of thought and that thing, that I mean, Mother's a good example of that, where I really started to use that. Comes from hip hop. It's just what I grew up on. That's all I listened to until I was about 19, when the Strokes suddenly appeared in my life. Obviously, I listened to other stuff before that, but like my main source of music was hip hop before then. And that's, you know, that kind of just literally the mechanical use of bars and repetition and stuff is something that I didn't even consciously do. I started becoming comfortable when I started writing like that. When we wrote the Meat EP and all that stuff, I started really just being myself. And, you know, there was some good stuff happening around me. Sleep with Mods were a good example of inspiration at that time.
Yeah, great band. And it's interesting because you said that you, I've in my research, you know, because there's a lot of things you say that I think that no one else is saying in the same way, because I think there's a lot of fear for bands and there's a fear for musicians to actually be political or to have a point of view. And I think we're in this situation now where it's time to get off the fence. So it was really refreshing reading your, doing your research and reading a lot of things about you and the way you see music and the way you see lyrics and all the things that have happened to you. But there's also this odd juxtaposition when it comes to the music as well. And I can hear the hip hop in the vibes, you know, and the way that, not only is there's a different take on the way you're dropping the lyrics, you know, bars and kind of chunks, but there's also that in the music, the way that you're using electronic things. Is this something that was just a lot of experimentation? Because the music is also, it is in juxtaposition with lyrics, and it's also got a very modern take on it as well. It's not just like, oh, this, you could have been doing your stuff and just doing a lot of riffs, to be honest, or doing a lot of big chords or a lot of jangly stuff, you know. I listen to a lot of Australian punk, which I love, and there's that route.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit more about the musical process, you know, of like that kind of, some of those things are just weird, man.
It
just kind of, you just jump in with a piece of music that's just an electronic piece that's just like fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a lot of experimentation. It's more like we listen to a lot of music. Bowen and I write most of the music. The boys write some as well. The other three, anyone got an idea, you bring it to the table and you write around it, basically. And then when it's finished, I'll write the lyrics. Until recently, where I kind of writing as we go, which is different for me. But like musically, obviously, I grew up on soul music was the main source of my music until I got to a certain age, and I discovered hip hop when I was about 11. Mm. And then Bowen was into like I mean, he grew up in Belfast, so his dad was a punk in the Troubles and that side of the fence. And like, and then he discovered techno and he brought that to me, and I kind of grew to love techno through Bowen, and he grew to love kind of grime and certain branches of hip hop and jungle through me. And so we kind of came together with, but all the stuff we loved very similar in palette and feel. And yeah, like, you know, it's not like the Venn diagram of people that listen to that aren't that different. It's just the sound is different. Do you know what I mean?
I get it.
And we were like this, we were like complete opposites, but the same beast because of that. Mm. And like, so we just like, I got no intentions of, my ethos and the violence in our art is paramount to us. I think, you know, like compassion and empathy can be violent. You got to cut through that popular culture and cut through what is super violent, advertising companies and this aggressive right that are so, dare I say it, invasive at the moment into mm-hmm. our consciousness and the populace. So we've got a lot to fight against, even just as an entity selling something, if you want to see it in the most cynical sense, being heard on the radio, you know, it's like you got to cut through it. And we like that challenge, and, you know, we'll never lose that sense of violence, but, you know, I want to write pop songs that are just as brilliant as our punk songs. And I want to write garage rock songs, and I want to write techno, and I want to write, you know, I'm not going to stop writing music. And I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But what happens is, I'm trying to give a good example. So like Grounds, I just had this idea. I had a beat. I wrote the beat. And then Bowen kind of added this thing. And I was like, that's it. And then I think you don't question what it sounds like until you've done it. And then you're like, people think that's experimental. I mean, Bowen and Lee are very experimental with their guitar, their pedal boards, you know? And once you kind of get your head around your guitarist having this literally world of sound, why would you stop at overdrive?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's loads of inspiring bands that came out that really pushed that, like Killer Band and like, just like bands that just, you know, why treat a guitar like a guitar when it could do so many other things?
Absolutely. I mean, some of those guitar things are like a punch in the face as well. As you say, it's like, you know, there's violence in the music, but it's a very kind of triggering word, I think, for some people, because, you know, I think when we talk about violence, we don't talk about it in the same way that other people talk about violence. Mm. You know, we use the word in a way that's very artistic and conducive to good art, you know?
Mm.
I mean, I think the hardest thing for our youth growing up now is just having to deal with their music and their art in the world of social media. You know, I hear some really good things to it, but invariably, you know, but it's how you use it, right? There's some really bad things to it as well. Mm. I mean, is it difficult I'm talking from someone who writes a lot of political stuff as well. Is it difficult being an artist in this environment, or are you able to kind of use it and turn it into something useful and good for people who are looking at your band?
I think if you go in as, you know, the sun versus the wind, you know, you can blow as hard as you can and it might make people retract. If you're there to sell records, you're probably harder to get your political thing through the door.
Yeah.
But my advice to anyone who has a message is maybe think about how you would communicate your ideas to someone on the street. It doesn't really change. If you go in and you scream in someone's face, you know, like, it's not going to open them up. No. And like, but you can go in, violence in art and violence, you can make it beautiful. You know, Caravaggio is, you know, a beheading is not something you want to look at, but you... But when
make
you're seeing,
beautiful, it's not so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. When you add narrative, you know.
Yeah, I would say to people, like, you know, they say, how do you get a message across in music? And I said, well, you don't. You know, your main aim in life is to, you know, you write things from a personal point that hurts you. If you go into write a political song, it's usually going to be like awful. But if you just talk about what's happening in your life, or, you know, and people can relate to that, I always think. And that's,
absolutely.
I think you do that very well, and it's a very kind of a staccato white man voice.
Little staccato white man voice in there. I love that. That's exactly it. I'm trying my best to get away from the staccato white man voice. I'm now more.
It's kind of me trying to get away from like being a black girl singer, you know. It's always gonna be black girl singer in there.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of the white man voice. I'm just trying to get rid of the staccato thing. I'm getting a bit annoyed at it myself, to be honest.
You're changing, you're doing a bit more.
Well, you know, I sing more now, but you know what? Like, I think I've become a slave to the song. Do you know what I mean? Whatever's best for the song. And I wasn't confident enough to do certain techniques before. But I think that's another way of getting my message across, whatever that is like, I need to challenge myself and keep going. And that's the only way I stay hungry. And I think if you're interested, you're interesting. And I want to stay interested. And I think that's more interesting for our audience. So I'm just trying new things, and I'm just going to constantly move forward.
Cool. Yeah. I love that.
I don't know how you see it, but like, well, how do you see it at the moment in terms of political? Because one thing, what I've done is kind of use more allegory and metaphor. And the bigger one's platform is, the more you can talk openly politically. When you get given a microphone on a TV show or on a radio station, the more people are listening to your voice, getting that, it's that thing of like being a Trojan horse at the start. Once you're in the sea, you can start cutting everyone's heads off.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, I'm in the US, in New York a lot of the time. And for me, I think we're at a very kind of worrying stage of how everything's going on, because I see there's some crazy, crazy stuff going on here. Mm. And for me, it's kind of like a born again idea of disco sucks. You know, it's like they've gone back to that disco sucks, and they're trying to take the gay out of culture. You know, they're trying to take the black out of culture. They're trying to take all these things out of culture. And I think I'm worried for the UK, and actually for everyone, because I always see that these right-wing people take America as a playbook, and they see what works and what works. You know, we wouldn't have had a Boris Johnson if we didn't have a Donald Trump. You know what
Absolutely,
I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, and then how, as an artist, do we translate that into lyrics? Again, you know, it's a very difficult thing. I find myself, lyrically, I've also changed in the way that I write, and I write at the same time as the band now. You know, we don't write songs and then I go and do my bit. I actually feel that if I don't, I've got to get it there and then. I've got to get that message, got to get that song there and then. And I think it's raised the level of our songs. And I actually would say that one of the bands that we play when we get stuck and we need to kick up the arse is Idols. So thank you for that. it's a difficult thing being an artist with a message, I think, in some ways. That's coming back in the music, and I think you're one of the forefront of that movement of like, if you're in a band and you have something to say it. Not everybody can, not everybody should, to be honest. I think people should develop their own talents. If they're good at talking in that way, they should, and if they want to, but I don't think it's a right that everybody should do it. But I do think that this is a time for everyone to like, who has a viewpoint, to stand up and be heard.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know how long my window of time is in the music business, but I'd hate to look back and not think that I use my platform well, and how I see what I see well as, you know. And I think like we're almost at a point where I have a platform where I can, you know, that those moments that you remember, at different points, like Bikini Kill or Manic Street Preachers or Kurt Cobain, or, you know, that where you just, those moments that you're like, that's what I do. It's like, it's easy to say that, but also, you know, you got to time it perfectly. It's like, it's the knockout punch.
Time perfect, you got to say the right thing.
Yeah, if you go swinging in the first round, you're gonna lose, right? Yeah. I'm with you. It's quite a scary time, but I think there's hope.
It's lovely to talk to you, and hopefully I'll bump into you somewhere.
Well, Skin, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Well, thank you very much.
Lots of love.